Good morning, everyone. Matt Anderson is here and he's drinking, but it's water. From the Culligan Water Cooler here at Star Radio Corporation, WTAD, we want to thank them for providing us with Culligan Water. And I really want to thank Harvest Ridge Coffee Refreshment Services, Pepsi, providing me with coffee because water ain't going to cut it for me. Matt Anderson. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing really well this morning, Mary. How's it going?
It is great. Matt was on the show previously because he is a veteran of the U.S. Army, so we were talking about veterans affairs and things like that. I love this. He was a human intelligence collector. I didn't know there was any human intelligence. I thought it was all artificial.
We usually, within that career field, we said that human intelligence was... the biggest oxymoron in the military, so...
Very hard to find. But today we're going to talk about an issue that's going to be at the forefront in the Illinois legislature this year. There's a lot of concern about regulation for marijuana, cannabis, hemp, Delta-9 THC, other kinds of THC. And the problem is, I can't even explain it, and that's where the problem becomes. Because Illinois has legalized recreational and medicinal marijuana. Missouri does, too. It's a $1 billion business in Missouri, much bigger business here in Illinois. Illinois is the only border state with Missouri that has legalized recreational marijuana. But a lot of places sell hemp or hemp products. Like we used to have hemp hand cream here at the Radio Ranch that the Farm Bureau would provide for us and stuff to promote that product. So Matt Anderson is here to kind of tell us what's happening in Springfield. You're going to have a unique perspective because you sell these products, but you have a very unique perspective. So you're worried about overregulation, but you admit there needs to be some regulation.
Oh, most definitely.
So, you know, let's just get started. Matt, tell us about yourself and why you're so interested in the regulations that are being proposed by the Pritzker administration.
Sure thing. So there's currently a bill that's up in front of the legislature right now. It's been passed by the Senate. How we got to this point could be a whole separate conversation.
It's basically passed by the Senate, but it's not passed by the House.
It hasn't passed by the House.
So if it doesn't pass this week or next week, it's done.
It has to be completely recalled from the beginning. And basically last year, the legislature and the Senate, the House had passed a bill that had regulated, it was basically a massage therapy regulation bill. And they did what was called a gut and replace. So since they had gotten it through part of the legislative process to at least name it and all that stuff, what they did was they stripped all the text out of it, stripped the name off of it, and made it into basically a hemp regulation bill. So those bills, you know, they're pushing it basically as a consumer protection act that needs to be passed right now. I guess my first concern there is if it needs the respect and the response, and our responsible legislators are looking for actual consumer protections, then why hasn't it initially gone through the full stages of just being drawn up as its own separate bill? There's been a big push throughout many states across the entire United States. As we saw last year, the Biden administration started taking steps to actually deschedule THC so that way it can possibly become legal in the future at the federal level fully.
Which it is not now.
It's causing problems in Missouri and Illinois.
Because if you sell marijuana legally in Missouri and Illinois, you have a banking problem.
Exactly.
Because there's really hardly anywhere to deposit your money because it's like if you walk in and say, I'm with the mafia, here's $1 million I made, I'd like to open an account. They'd be like, no, thank you. We can't take illegal money. Most people in the mafia are smart enough not to tell them they're with the mafia. But, you know, if I come in and I say, I own a, you know, Pinky's marijuana parlor, they're going to be like, no, we're sorry. You can't have a bank account here because that's federally illegal and we're federally insured and licensed. So
that's correct. And even on the hemp side, there's several, like credit card processors that won't do businesses with hemp businesses. We have found a couple that we've worked with over the years. We're actually getting ready to move over to a different processor right now, not for any reason that our current processor won't cover us, but because, you know, we found better rates, things like that. So it's a better fit for our overall growth. So that's a good thing to see, is we actually have some of those larger companies that do give us more space to grow. And we've been able to work with those. But yeah, basically, the bill in its intention is supposed to regulate it. A cannabinoid specifically called Delta-8 THC. So Delta-8, it's a naturally occurring cannabinoid, cannabinoid is just a plant molecule found within the cannabis plant, like THC, CBD. So there's Delta-9 THC, there's THCA, those are all forms of THC. So when people just say, you know, it's got THC, that's kind of a gray area now, since we've actually been able to do some of this research and figure out more information
about the plant. So it'd be kind of like me saying I have protein in my body.
Exactly.
Okay, I do, but there are myriad and varied kinds of proteins in my body.
And they all react differently.
Exactly. So this Delta-9 THC, though, this is the one that people are really the most concerned about. They want to regulate this Delta-9 THC. So
Delta-8 is actually Delta-8 is the one that the bill is looking to mostly control. There's Delta-9, there's Delta-10, there's one called THCO. Some of them are naturally occurring. Some of them are completely synthetic. And so that was one of the issues that the Farm Bill opened up, is it basically descheduled everything but Delta-9 THC.
So Delta-9 would be okay, but everything else, is it because it's artificial? Is Delta-8 artificial?
It's naturally occurring within the plant, but usually when it comes in nature, it's not in high enough quantities to be able to extract it. So there's different ways of, you know, quote-unquote synthesizing, and I want to explain that, because I consider something being synthetic and synthesized two different things. So there's different ways of synthesizing the cannabinoids. Some of them are more safe than others. The bad actors usually turn to the cheaper, effective models of synthesis. Whereas our process is a certified natural process. So we use light, heat, pressure, you know, the things that nature uses, just like when you turn coal to diamonds in a lab.
It's a diamond, but it's an artificial diamond, right?
Well, it's a synthetic
diamond.
Yes.
It's kind of like maple syrup.
Yeah.
I brought home a teeny tiny little bottle of maple syrup from Canada, and it's real maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can go buy a big old bottle of Aunt Jemima for one-tenth of that and get a lot more, but it's artificially flavored. Now, you could make the argument that you really can't tell the difference. I mean, let me tell you, if I hadn't been up in Canada and got this kind of at a discount, I wouldn't be, I mean, I'm not spending the equivalent of a bottle of Aunt Jemima would cost about $88. So go to the grocery store and look at, you know, the maple syrup on the shelf and say, okay, I don't want that artificial stuff.
Yep.
I want real maple syrup. You ain't paying no $88 for that. You're going to take the artificial stuff. So just because you can make it, I mean, it's true. We can make almost anything now. There are lab-made diamonds. There's artificial, you know, maple syrup. There's all kinds of stuff. So this is where, though, it becomes problematic, because you can go down, we used to call it ditch weed when we were kids, you know, you can go down on the banks of the Cedar Creek and pull up a few plants there and say, hey, that's marijuana.
Yep.
You can roll it up in a, you know, a piece of index, you know, paper from school and say, oh, I'm going to smoke marijuana. You're smoking hemp plant, water hemp, and you're not going to, nothing's going to happen to you. There's not enough stuff in it to make anything happen, but when you're a little kid, you think you're cool. You do that. So I can understand why people are concerned, because if I'm using hemp and hemp oils and this Delta H is in such low levels in the naturally occurring that it's not going to have a negative effect on me, that's different than them taking it and making it synthetically so that instead of just, you know, a drop of it in my bottle, now it's the whole thing is concentrated and it's synthetic, but my body doesn't see any difference. It still utilizes it the same way.
As the Delta-8, correct. So, like we sell a very small selection of Delta-8 THC just because with the press that's been on it, everything, you know, a big part of our job out at my business is education. So, you know, trying to provide that education in a way that's effective in order to either bring more people in for the product or just inform people in the store.
Because you want people to do it for health effects.
Exactly.
But the problem is, Matt Anderson, you may be a good player. You may be somebody who says, this is my business going forward, and I believe in the health benefits of hemp and hemp products, and I really want to, you know, educate people and get more people to use this for pain relief, et cetera, that, you know, you personally used. But the guy that runs the corner grocery store, convenience store, gas station, they're putting this stuff out. Kids could go in there and buy it. So that's why they're worried about regulation. They're saying not everybody's a good player. So how are we going to protect the good players from the bad players?
And unfortunately, this bill that they're pushing doesn't do that. So it stops everyone in the state from making it, selling it, you know, whatever it may be. But it doesn't do anything about the unscrupulous online marketplaces that are, you know, just providing a click here if you're 18 plus and eight, and, you know, not going through any proper age gating processes, selling, actually getting it into the hands of children. It does nothing to actually stop, you know, that commerce from, you know, happening within the state of Illinois. So it blocks all the economic benefit. It blocks the legitimate players from being able to provide that education while still leaving open a quote-unquote, you know, loophole for anybody else that, you know, doesn't have, you know, the most wholesome intentions to still be able to reach those populations. So Not to mention that, you know, the press that's on it is probably going to drive up interests, you know, in some of the younger generations. I know how I was when I was younger, and somebody says, don't do something, I'm going to go check it out, you know.
That's why we took paper from our notebook and rolled these leaves we found down by the bank of the Cedar Creek. So some kid 4 years older than us said, that's marijuana. You can smoke marijuana. Well, I got to tell you, I sat on the bank of the Cedar Creek where my parents couldn't see me and smoked marijuana a lot. And I didn't ever get high from it because it's basically water hemp growing there on the side of the road. Could have made a good rope out of it. Maybe it made my skin better. I don't know. But here's the problem. So you're a businessman. Usually business people don't want regulation. Now, here you are saying that as far as your lobby is concerned, as far as you want to happen, prohibition, you say, never works. I think we proved that when we tried to make liquor illegal. We did that when we made marijuana illegal. When we put marijuana basically in the same category as heroin, you know, we were developing a process where people were going to jail and prison for crimes that were the same sentence for very disparate crimes. So that's why marijuana medically has been legalized. That's why marijuana recreationally has been legalized. Okay. It's the lesser of an evil, I guess. So you're not really against regulation. You kind of want regulation in a way, which is strange for a businessman, but you feel like regulation will help you operate within a parameter.
Well, after
depending on what the regulation is.
Of course. Well, with over 5 years in the industry, myself and all the other reasonable, responsible players within the marketplace, we've already gone through, talked to each other, and we're all already self-regulating. So, for example, you know, we age gate all of our products. Anything that doesn't contain THC is 18 plus. Anything that contains THC is already 21 plus, whether it's a trace amount or whether it has 8 milligrams. So we put that barrier, and those are clearly separated between a what's called a broad spectrum and a full spectrum differentiation. So full spectrum will usually contain those trace amounts or more of THC. The broad spectrum products, all of ours have been third-party lab tested by a DEA certified lab not to contain any traceable amounts of THC. So
and the THC
all
is the stuff that makes you high.
Exactly.
And then you don't need the high to get the medical beneficial effects of the hemp product.
And exactly. And also with that, so even inside of, you know, the THC making you high, as we talked about those different types of THC. So like THCA is the THC that's found like in the raw plant. So before it's been smoked, rolled, baked for edibles, extracted, just as the plant itself, that contains mostly THCA. It will have some Delta-9 THC usually, but Delta-9 is actually what makes you high. So when, you know, you light a joint or you bake brownies and you expose it to that heat, that converts, that's, if you want to call it, synthesizes the cannabinoid from the THCA to Delta-9, which is why you could just, you know, eat a whole bag of weed and it's not going to do anything to you. It won't make you high. But, you know, if you eat a brownie, you smoke a joint, it will, because you are synthesizing that cannabinoid into delta 9 THC.
I guess it's like in Bolivia. For years, they've been chewing on coca leaves down there, you know, as pain relief and everything like that. That's different than making it into crack cocaine and snorting it up your nose. So yes, it's the same, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
And so you're really fighting for the existence of your business, because if we already can get THC products legally in Missouri and Illinois, mostly concerned about Illinois today because of the bills that are happening here, that's not really going to change that, but it could put everybody who doesn't want to have the THC out of business because they're trying to regulate it too much.
Well, not even that, but it's a bigger issue than that, because it's going to actually affect, and I usually let the fiber hemp, you know, side using
those
it
are
for,
the rope makers. Yeah,
yeah. I let them kind of talk through their piece, but it's going to affect, you know, how they're able to actually grow, whether they're able to actually grow the plant outside of the marijuana framework.
If you're trying to make rope out of hemp, or you're trying to use it as a feed source or something, and it's got any trace of THC in it, which it will have some, you know, then you're not going to be able to do that agriculturally.
Well, that's the big issue, is because the way that they have the regulation written for at least the retail side is that each serving can have no less than half a milligram of THC, and then 2 milligrams total THC per package. So, for example, we've done a couple, and I heard the conversation you were having, I think, a few weeks back with one of your chiropractor friends,
yeah,
kind of talking about weight loss and cannabis, and we can talk about that a little bit more if you'd like. But something that kind of affects everyone more that we deal with, I'd say probably most more than anything, is sleep. And it's not people that just want to smoke weed and then go hit the rack. We actually have done a FDA-approved, as what's called a full institutional review board, which means that they've gone through and they've checked through all the ways that the different tests are being performed to make sure that they use the common practices and that they're up to snuff. The trial had a placebo group, so people that were given a supplement that looked like the one that had everything in it but didn't have everything in it. We've done like a strong human clinical. We're actually doing the research to back the product, so that way we can talk to people and educate people properly on it. But like, for example, with this study, it was a 660 participant study, person participant study over 6 weeks. 86%, and this was with a placebo, saw improved sleep onset and improved sleep quality. 78% reported reduced fatigue, and 76% reported reduced anxiety. So those are like quantifiable facts from the study. That supplement would become illegal under this bill, because each serving has almost a milligram of THC in it. So I don't have anybody coming to complain that they're getting high off this supplement, because it's got a minor amount of THC in it. But with the 2 milligrams total packaging requirement, that's going to have almost 30 milligrams of THC within that bottle. So if somebody wants to drink a whole bottle of it, yeah, they might get a little bit of a high.
The packaging is a big problem too.
But these are in 30 day supplies, like every other diet. Like it adheres to normal dietary supplement guidance, which this regulation doesn't. So that's a big issue there. And this is a proven product that the government is blessed off on how the study was conducted. And the Illinois legislature is effectively going to take it off the market, along with 90% of my products in my store, with the passing of this law. So it would put me out of business. And you wouldn't believe the amount of people that, they've talked with their doctors. Their doctors said, go ahead and give it a shot. And the state's just going to wipe it out. The other big issue is a lot of my customers are 55 plus. The generations that aren't necessarily comfortable with going in the dispensary, having their ID scanned, having the state monitor, you know, every movement that they have inside the building. And I get this from my customers that said, you know, I went over, talked to them, they didn't have what I was looking for, they sent me to you. So, you know, we work closely with the dispensaries here in town. So this isn't as far as I'm concerned, this isn't an us versus them issue, but one where we can just overall educate everyone to the point where there can be common sense practices within the industry.
I like it. You said us versus them. You want it to be us and them.
That's
now,
correct.
We got to wrap it up. We've got other guests waiting. So I guess what I want you to say, Matt Anderson, we've got Jill Tracy as our state rep and Kyle Moore as our new state, our state senator Jill Tracy and state rep, new state rep Kyle Moore. Now, what is it exactly you want them to do? Give me the common sense, you know, explanation of what you want them to do to keep children safe, but to allow little old ladies to have sleep aid and pain relief for arthritis and stuff like that.
So unfortunately, this did pass the Senate. Several people, both from us, our friends here at Stony Branch in Rushville, all reached out to Senator Tracy, thought that she was more on board with us than she was, and she ended up voting for it. Representative Freeze was an absolute ally for us. He completely took the time to understand the issue. We know that he's done a great job working with Rep. Moore, and we're sure that we're going to have a partner with him as well as we fight this through the House. But, you know, basically what we're calling for is reasonable regulation, support, and just to support us by, you know, requiring 21-plus, age-gating, child-proof packaging, clear labels and advertising of, you know, what the cannabinoid, the cannabis content is, prohibiting copycat products like Cheetos and Nerd Ropes and the things that the marijuana lobby's gotten up there and waved in the faces of the media that we're not selling. Reasonable licensing requirements for us, you know, maybe a special tax rate to kind of keep some of those bad actors out because they're going to have to charge more, have smaller margins. All these things protect us as small businesses and allow us to be able to operate comfortably within our communities without fearing prosecution or fines, things like that, and still be able to maintain you know, responsibility within the community and our customer bases.
Okay, Matt Anderson, keep me posted because this is going to be big. It'll either pass out of the House now before the new session starts, or if it doesn't, it's going to have to start all over again.
I do want to mention just real quick, we are having a couple lobby days here in the next couple days. One is being put on by the Illinois Hemp Growers Association in Springfield, 9 to 3 on the 4th, and then 6 to 7th, the Illinois Hemp Business Association is hosting two there at the Capitol. So anybody within the industry, I know Cole Cram from North Adams Hemp is going to be going up there. We've got Stony Branch from Rushville. They're going to be heading on over. So any other small farmers, other retailers, you can reach out to me at my store out at SunMed at 5313 Oak Street. Get a hold of us there. We can give you the information on how to be a part of that fight. So,
thank you very much for your time today, Matt Anderson. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from the URSA Farmers Cooperative, and then we've got the Rotary and Rhinestones and Rodeo on deck. Stay tuned. Here's some more about Rhinestones and Rodeo. -24 degrees as we head up to the URSA Farmers Cooperative. How do the farm markets look today?
Good morning. Corn for March is down 7 at 452. May it's down 7 at 460. Soybeans for March is down 18 at 993. May is down 19 at 1006. Wheat for March is down 14 at 531. July it's down 13 at 551. Soybean meal for January is down 9 at 301. Lean hogs for February is down 1 at 7970. Feeder cattle for March is down at 266. Live cattle for February is up 1 at 194.65. Crude oil is up at 72.97. And the Dow Jones is down 160 at 42,197. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. And we are here with Katie Krauser from the Rotary Club of Quincy. So excited to have her alongside. I am so envious of her. Because 2 years ago now, we were in Cancun together in January,
and
there
was
snow on the ground when we came home.
It was the best time.
It was the best time
it was
ever.
The best time.
She's going without me. How dare she?
I'm sorry.
When are your wheels up?
The 21st.
Oh, my gosh. So you've got to endure this weekend.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes. But I'm, you know what? I am okay with it. I would rather have some bad weather now before our students come back to QU and
right.
before everything really kicks into high gear for the rest of the year. I'd rather do it this weekend than in 3 weeks.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you the truth. I may be calling our favorite travel agent and saying, get me on a flight. I'm going down, and I'll just have to sleep on the beach, and Katie will have to cover me up with a towel or something in the night.
We will take care of
you. Okay, that was the best trip, man. All inclusive, adults only.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we did anything. We're so mild.
You know, really, it's about not having screaming children on the beach with you.
Nobody's going,
yeah.
when you're eating dinner. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Let's talk about Rotary.
Let's talk about Rotary. I am so honored to be part of the Rotary Club of Quincy. This is one of those organizations that I did not know much about until I joined. And thank goodness for Nancy Waters and Dean Lavelle and the members of the Rotary Club of Quincy who really brought me into that fold. It is such a great service organization. There are, if you are around town at all, you are going to run into signs with the Rotary wheel on them indicating the kinds of projects that Rotary Club of Quincy has supported throughout these years. And a lot of, you know, coming up for this month for sure, because we'll be back again next month to talk with you. But, you know, we have speakers. We talk about local interests at our meetings. Our meetings are held at noon out at the Holiday Inn of Quincy out by Walmart. So, you know, at noon, if you're out that direction and you would like to drop in and visit the Rotary Club meeting, just come in and let us know. Let us know that you're visiting or that you're interested in finding out more. We try to keep between like 85 to 110 members in the club, but you're not required to come every week. But we get speakers in that are talking about things that really have to do with the everyday life in Quincy, in the community, or something that maybe has a broader focus, like
legislation about hemp and marijuana, and people don't know the difference, you
yes.
know, and they're like, oh, I don't want my kids exposed to marijuana, but
Hemp
oil
is very
for
different.
Me on my elbow, you know, maybe, okay. So, yeah, you've got to be educated, and you guys always educate each other.
We do, and there are so many different people represented, different types of industries, small businesses, local services represented within the club, that you really build this network of people that can give you access to the information that you need when something comes up. You know, maybe you didn't ever need a financial advisor, but you have something, you know, you came into a trust, or you were left something as an estate and you don't know what to do with that. Talk to one of the guys in Rotary whose specialty that is, and you can really build your own establishment, your own investments based on those relationships that you can have in Rotary. Or if you're interested in learning more about some of the service organizations, we frequently have Kids Packs or Horizons or, you know, other local organizations come in and talk about the services that they do, so that when we encounter people who need those types of services, we can immediately recommend that.
Okay.
We can tell them what Gretif can do for you or what the Society of Fine Arts. And then there's also the recommendations that we have. The other fun stuff, we do Quincy the Oktoberfest, which is so much fun. We have bourbon and popcorn. Absolutely a great event every year. Every month we have a student of the month, and at the end of the year we do a student of the year. And it, you know, encouraging these students to recognize how much the community can really do for them.
Okay. So the date again at noon?
On Tuesdays at noon out at the Holiday Inn. And, you know, the food is provided, so that's part of what your dues go to pay for. There are dues for being part of Rotary, and, you know, that's just all part of what goes into supporting the rest of the projects that we put forth.
Okay, the first Friday of every month here on the Mary Griffith Show, we're going to have a representative of Rotary, and they've always got a great event every week. They've got a great speaker, but they've got special events. We'll talk more about those. Coming up, enjoy Cancun.
Thank you.
How big a steamer trunk can you get on Frontier Airlines?
That big, unfortunately.
We'll be back. Oh, boy, she's been waiting patiently. Kate Doherty is here to talk about rhinestones and rodeos. We're going to have her up in 1 minute. We'll be back. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Kate Doherty is patient, but she has two kids, so that's built into
three.
Her. Three. Oh, that's right. I forget. Three.
They're just two separate families. One's
right.
a young adult, and the other two are teenagers. So there's that.
Well, let's talk about Rhinestones and Rodeo. Tickets are still available. This event is January 11th, coming up just around the corner here at the Ambiance in Quincy. It's like black tie.
Well, chic. It's country black
country
tie.
Country black tie. So you can wear
country,
a good pair of overalls
yeah,
if that's
so
what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny because people are always like, "Oh, it's one of those fancy events," and it's like,
"Rhinestones
well,
and rodeo."
Like it's rhinestones and rodeo, and that's country black tie, which means you see people. There are people there in tuxes. There are people there in cowboy hats and boots. There are people there in glittering, gorgeous dresses and little black outfits, you know. And then there are people there, like my mom always wears, like these great black slacks with her yeah. cute little sparkly boots and a cute little sparkly top. And so it's like it's your Sunday best. And the reason we make it a dress-up event versus, you know, come as wherever you are is, quite frankly, a lot of our families have children or adults who are in medical complicated situations because Down Country isn't just about Down syndrome. It uses Down syndrome as the voice for how we all learn, how we all grow, and all those different things. Mary's like looking at me like, does she ever shut up?
No. I could repeat it though because you've educated me so much. I know all about it.
So when you're stuck in a hospital or a clinic, what are you wearing? You're wearing your t-shirt and your sweatpants. And there's times where families or the people themselves are, it's like they live in these clothes.
They
and you know, you have to.
Up.
So it is like, heck yeah.
So if you want to dress up, you
can. You
bring the bling if you want. How much are tickets and how do we get them?
So we changed ticket pricing this year because, you know, well, like everything else, things have gone up. But we wanted to make sure that we made it still so that our kids and our self-advocates could still come. So here's the way it works. If you are a person with a disability or 18 and under, the tickets are $50. And that includes all your food, you know, all the things, chances into the, it includes everything. It's an all-inclusive ticket. If you are over the age of 18, it includes all of your beverages, including those that perhaps are of the adult variety. So it's all your food, all your drink. It's an all-inclusive ticket, and that's $100. So $50 for 18 and under, $100 for everything. But like I said, that does include everything. And our food, we have, when you walk in, you have shrimp, you have sushi, you have salad on the table, you have charcuterie boards with meats and cheeses and all the things, fruits and veggies. You have chicken tenders for the kids. You have toasted ravioli. I think they're doing cheesy potatoes this year. Sure. And then you have a full meal of, and actually I'm waiting for the final menu, but I mean, it's beef and all the things. If you need a vegetarian or gluten-free option, it's available. And then after the whole program's over, the amazing people from Gym City Tower, the Abbey, they bring us pizzas. So we have pizzas to eat on top of the desserts that come out after the auction's mm-hmm. over. So you will eat, and repeat all night long. So I know that you're going to get your money's worth.
Well, we're not worried about that because we know it goes to a great cause as well. So if you've never attended, this might be the time to go. Now, I want you, and we've only got about 3 minutes left. I hate that, but we've only got about 3 minutes left. Kate Doherty, talk about Down Country. Talk about this event. What does the money go to? Does it help?
The money helps people right here. It helps our teachers, our families, our therapists. The money stays local. We have no paid employees. We do not take any state or federal funds. The money goes directly into therapists, doctors, nurses, families, children, adults who live and reside here in the tri-state so that we can get them out to national and international conferences with the stipulation that they come back and help pay it forward here and teach their fellow teachers, their fellow therapists, their fellow family members how to best help and serve our kids. We don't need to save the world. However, our goal right here in Quincy, Palmyra, Hannibal, the tri-state area, is to make things just a little bit better right where we are.
And you're an advocate because you have someone in your family who has Down syndrome. And the thing of it is, you can't say, well, this is how I raised my son, so this is a blueprint for you. No, every child is different.
Absolutely.
You couldn't say, well, I was a parent, so here's how I raised my kids, so this is exactly. But the helps and the aids and the camaraderie. And there are some things that cost some money, and families often don't have these resources.
Well, and one of the things that people don't realize, I find very often people don't realize, is the very same techniques educationally that we use to help a child with, say, Down syndrome or autism or whatever, can also be used to help hashtag every child. Any other kid out there can benefit from, depending on if they're a strong visual learner, a strong auditory learner, all these different tips and techniques can be utilized, as well as one of the things we're finding medically that becomes so important is the importance of blood panels. I mean, so many people do not understand that, you know, getting your blood screened is so vitally important and can be a phenomenal barometer, no different than we all know there's a storm coming in this weekend, right?
Right.
So, like, your blood is a barometer of what's going on with your body, and so many people do not get these things checked, but we learn these things from our kids and our adults with disabilities.
You know, that word disability, differently abled, we've had a lot of different monikers for it, but what it boils down to is we're all each individuals. And as children with disabilities age, it does get more difficult because an eight-year-old boy with Down syndrome is different than a 38-year-old man with Down syndrome.
Well, and one of the things that we say very often, I mean, it is exceptionally. Actually, this year we're unveiling our Baby's First program. We know that it's very, very important for us to get with young parents of children because children need to be held accountable. And you can say, what do you mean? Well, if it's not going to be cute at 38, it cannot be allowed at age 8. We have to help teach that child what appropriate looks like, what it doesn't appropriate look like. There are some people who say, well, we need to make the world fit them. Well, that's a big task. And I'm not saying that acceptance isn't important. That's why we host our Awareness to Acceptance concerts, because it is. We need to educate everyone around our kids and our people who learn or live life a little differently. However, it's not a pass. It is not a pass.
I think that's why you're so successful, because unfortunately we do have to live in the world. And even though somebody may say, well, they only have the mental ability, quote unquote, whatever that means.
God.
Yeah. I know, you're going to puke. Of a 5-year-old.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. 5-year-olds can behave and they can achieve.
You know, read Laura Ingalls Wilder. Those 5-year-olds were, you know, feeding the cows and the horses and the hogs. And I believe when
King
Laura.
Darty, we got to go. I love you. Get tickets for Rhinestones and Rodeo, folks. Do it.
Mm-hmm.